We love to explain quantum physics and the mysteries of the universe, but the mysteries of finance, not so much. Intuit helps you demystify your finances through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Understanding standard deductions or interest rates can be very complicated and tricky, with big potential consequences. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, Jorge, what image do you get in your mind if I say the phrase mysteries of the universe?
I think of, you know, black holes and what's inside of them and what happened at the beginning of time and where is the universe going to go?
Those are all wonderful mysteries, and I'd love to dig into them. But what if I told you you don't have to go so far away to find mysteries?
You mean like, why is a cartoonist hosting a podcast about science?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. It turns out that there are deep, unanswered physics questions all around us. You don't have to travel to the edge of the galaxy to find something we don't understand.
Yeah, I've heard about this, that in the objects we use every day, there might be things that even physicists don't know how it works.
Yeah, it turns out physicists don't know what we're talking about all the time.
Wait, you don't know what you're talking about, or you know what you're talking about, but you don't understand it?
No, that's the exact job of physics, is to look around us and say, do we really know how this works? Can we actually understand it? And sometimes we think there's a simple explanation, but we sit down to work it out, and it turns out it's much more complicated than we thought.
Yeah. Turns out there are big mysteries, even in the things that a lot of us ride to work every day.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Jorge.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, a production of iHeartRadio.
In which we look around for weird things in the universe that don't make sense and try to explain them to you. Sometimes we look far, sometimes we look pretty close to home.
That's right. Today on the episode, we're going to try something a little bit different. So usually we talk about the big things out there in the universe, all the big fundamental questions about what the universe is made out of and where is it going and what happens inside of crazy things like black holes. But today we're going to try something a little different.
That's right. Some of those are big, sexy questions that affect the human condition and the context of your life. But we think sometimes there are mysteries of physics right here in front of us that can give us deep insights into the way things work and how we live our lives.
So this might be the first of a series of episodes in which we tackle a question that's kind of close to us or in maybe hidden in everyday objects.
That's right. So look around you. Think about whether you understand the way the world works around you. Why doesn't your house fall down? How do lightning rods work? All these things that are happening around you, do you really know how they work? Do physicists even know how they work?
So today on the podcast, we're going to talk about Why don't bicycles fall over?
Now, the bicycle has been around for a long time. People have been putting their butts on those funny seats and pedaling around for decades and decades and decades. But the physics of a bicycle is fascinating. If you just hold a bicycle and let go, it's going to fall over, right? But if you push your bicycle so that it's going fast, it doesn't fall over. It can ride by itself.
It's kind of a ridiculous situation if you think about it. Like, who thought to take two wheels and ride around in them?
That's right. It seems like it wouldn't balance, right? It seems much more natural to have three wheels or four wheels, right? Maybe somebody was just short of wheels and they were like, dang it, I ordered three wheels on the internet, only two arrived. I guess I'm going to have to invent something.
They couldn't afford a third wheel.
That's right. Or they only had the raw materials enough for two wheels or something. Here we're like inventing a new myth of the genesis of the bicycle, right?
Yeah. Well, it seems implausible because it's hard to balance, right? You need at least, you know, like a chair needs at least three legs to stand on. It's kind of weird to think that someone would think of a vehicle that only rides on two wheels.
Yeah, that's right. Not many people invent chairs with just two legs, right? For that same reason. That would be pretty odd. There's two-wheel contraptions. We have motorcycles, we have bicycles. It is amazing. It's not something that I would have considered inventing, but it works. You see bikes everywhere, and you go to Europe and India and China, and there's all over the world, there's thousands and millions of bicycles being used every day. But the physics of it is still a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, how do bicycles stay up? Apparently, physicists don't really have a good answer, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's fascinating, but, you know, do this experiment in your head. You remember riding a bike probably, and the faster you go, the more stable the bike seems. And at some point you could even lean back and take your hands off the handlebars. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a ridiculous thing to do. You're going 20 miles an hour. And if the handlebars flipped over, you would fly over the front of the bike and hurt yourself. But miraculously almost, it seems pretty stable. And I remember discovering this as a kid, that you could ride your bike without holding onto the handlebars because at high speeds, it's so stable.
Yeah, wearing a helmet though, right? We should probably
wearing a helmet and you know, off the street, of course. Never ride without holding the handlebars on the street because you could cause an accident.
Or in the highway.
It's sort of
right?
amazing. Or on the highway, that's right. Actually, my dad used to commute to work on a bicycle. And we lived up in the mountains in New Mexico, and so it could get pretty snowy. And I remember that he would put nails and studs in his wheels on purpose.
What?
Like sticking out so that he could grip the ice. Yeah, he was a pretty hardcore commute to work. He was like, I'm going to commute to work no matter what the weather is.
Sounds like a Mad Max modification there.
Yeah, I asked him once if it was good for the ice, and he said, actually, it's pretty good for pedestrians too.
It's good for clearing the road on pedestrians.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we understand that, but we don't understand why bikes stand up.
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery. You ride it, and I mean, you're doing a lot of the balancing with the handlebars, right? But a lot of the balancing and staying up is kind of done for you when you're riding a bicycle.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of it is done for you. And I think there's also a fascinating area there where your brain has like incorporated the mechanics of a bicycle into itself, right? It's like learning how to ride a bike is basically learning how to map where you want the bike to go to how to move your hands and shift your weight, et cetera, to ride the bike, right?
Right.
It's amazing seeing a kid learn to do that. It's a really complicated thing. Like imagine a robot learning to ride a bicycle. That's a really hard task. That's something that robots still can't do.
Because it's very counterintuitive, right, to ride a bicycle. If you're starting to lean to the right, then you actually have to teach your body to turn the wheel towards the right to balance
out. Yeah, exactly. And you have to lean just the right way. And sometimes you have to lean left to turn right. It can get pretty complicated. It's sort of in its most extreme form in those crazy motorcycle races. You see those guys whizzing around turns at like 100-something miles an hour, and their bikes are leaning so far over that their knees almost scrape the ground.
Right. But basically, if you're at home and maybe you don't have a lot of experience with bicycles, try this experiment at home. Borrow a bicycle, or if you have one, take it out. And then hold it out either on the street or on the sidewalk, or maybe ideally kind of in a little bit of a downhill, and then just give it a big push forward, and you'll see that the bike keeps going straight. It doesn't immediately fall over.
Exactly. And so that's a topic we want to address today. Why does the bike stay up? And so before we dug into it, I thought, well, let's find out what people think. Let's see what people think the answer might be.
Yeah. So you went to your local mecca of bicycles, right? A college campus?
That's right. That's right. And asked people on the street. Actually, today's a sort of a special edition because this quarter at UC Irvine, I'm teaching freshman physics, which is mechanics. And the week before we did these interviews, I just taught about rotation, angular momentum. And so my students were primed for this topic. And so I asked students in my freshman physics class this question. So the interviews you'll hear are with students in my class.
Cool. So think for a moment. And if you think you know the answer, why a bicycle stays upright. So think about it for a second and then listen to these answers. Here's what they had to say.
Why does a bicycle balance?
Oh, you have to get the motion going. You got to get, you know, centrifugal forces. You got to get your balance.
Are you a physics professor?
And definitely not.
Okay. Would it be because since there's two wheels, like the force in one goes to the other, that's why like, it still keeps going forward? Something like that?
No.
No? Okay. Thanks.
Because there's a torque from the tire, and when you rotate, the torque will support the rotation, so it won't fall down.
Okay. Is it because it's moving? Mm-hmm. By chance? Because like alone, like standing up, it wouldn't like stand up by itself. So I'm not sure actually.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm thinking it has something to do with maybe centripetal forces, the fact that there's constantly like pushing in or like towards the center of the bicycle wheels. So as opposed to where it's not rotating, it's kind of unstable because it doesn't have any like other points of contact.
I think that this has to do with either the angular momentum or rotational inertia of the bike. So if something is rotating like a gyroscope, because of its angular momentum, it will continue to rotate more easily rather than starting or stopping it from rotating.
Great. Thanks very much.
Bicycle's moving, why is it easier to stay? Jesus Christ.
It's not because of Jesus Christ.
I have no idea.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so were you impressed with your students or not impressed?
I think the scores on the final tell you how impressed I should be with these students. Yeah, they seem pretty perplexed. Like, they could not really apply the concepts of rotation and angular momentum to this topic.
I like how they, one of them even got religious. They just went like, Jesus Christ, what? I don't even know.
I know. It's tricky. Yeah, it turns out to be tricky. But a few folks, you know, repeated what I think a lot of people imagine is the answer, which is angular momentum.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, it's some gyroscope effect, some conservation of angular momentum.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't worked through the details in their mind, but that's sort of the most common answer.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people listen to this podcast. You know, you've probably read a few science books maybe or are into science, and you probably think you know the answer. And I imagine most people think it has something to do with angular momentum. And so before you click off because you think you know the answer, you should know that the answer is not angular momentum.
You just gave it away.
Well, I just don't want it to click away.
That's right. Keep listening. Trust us, there's more to it than just angular momentum.
It's not even close. It's not like the predominating factor in why bicycles stay upright.
Yeah, that's right. But let's dig into it a little bit. Let's talk about what angular momentum is, how it contributes to a bike staying upright, and then what else is going on. But first, a quick break.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What exactly is angular momentum?
Yeah, so let's do it one step at a time. Let's just make sure we have clear in our heads what momentum is, and then we'll extrapolate from that to angular momentum.
Okay.
Right, so momentum is just, you know, the property of some object to keep going when you've pushed it, or to, you know, not go when you haven't pushed it. It's, you know, essentially it's the same as inertia, right?
Mm. Like if you got something going, it doesn't, let's keep it going. It wants to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So we say momentum is conserved. That just means if something is moving, right, has a certain amount of momentum, that momentum is not going to change unless you apply a force to it, right? And that's really what forces are. Forces are changes in momentum. And so momentum is just this property of something. If it's moving, it likes to stay moving. And it's connected to inertia. It comes from the inertia. The mathematical expression for momentum is mass, which is inertia, times velocity. Right. So something with more mass has more inertia and therefore more momentum for the same velocity.
And that's a weird thing about the universe, right? Like I was talking to a pretty high-level physicist and they were saying that we don't really know kind of what inertia is.
Hold on. You talk to other high-level physicists? I'm finding out about this on the podcast?
I've been physics cheating on you, Daniel.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, I'm putting on my to-do list. Find other cartoonists to talk to.
Technically, it happened while we were on a break, Daniel. So it's not.
Okay. All right, fine. Yeah. Flaunt your relationship with other physicists. Go ahead. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Go ahead.
No, it happened before we signed a contract together. This was Alain Gross. He's like one of the head physicists at CERN, right?
He is a prominent member of the ATLAS Collaboration and a serious Higgs physicist. Yeah, so he's thought a lot about mass. That's probably where you're going.
Yeah, he said physicists don't really know what inertia is. Like, why do things keep going the way if you don't apply force to them?
Yeah, you're right. It's an observation, right? We call these things laws sometimes as if we like know why they happen or why the universe works this way. But a lot of times it's just observation. We'd like, well, we noticed this and we'd be able to describe it mathematically and write it down. That doesn't mean we know why, right? It doesn't mean we couldn't imagine a universe that was different. So we don't know why things have inertia, right? Mm-hmm. We have the Higgs boson, which tells us how things get mass. And that tells us where mass comes from, but we don't know why mass means inertia, right? We don't know how that all works.
Yeah, or like why if you have more mass, it's harder to stop or to get going.
Yeah, exactly. deep mystery of the universe. Such a basic question, we don't even know how to test it or grapple with it, right? It's just one of those things we just sort of accept and move on. And maybe someday somebody's going to figure it out, probably by like poking some other mystery, maybe even by trying to solve the mystery of an everyday object that's around us.
Yeah, like the bicycle.
Yeah, that's why it's important to never let go of mysteries, right? Even things that seem mundane, right? Blenders and bicycles and whatever, they can hide secrets to the universe.
I mean, the unicycle, that's old news, but the bicycle is where the frontier of science is at, right?
That's right. All right, so that's momentum, right? People are pretty familiar with momentum. Well, there's another kind of momentum, right? Things like to keep moving forward if you push them. Things also like to keep spinning, right? And that's what we call angular momentum. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite tricks in physics. It's like, let's be lazy. Let's not describe something new with a whole new concept. Let's just extrapolate from something else we already know. So we have this concept of linear momentum. Let's just use the same kind of stuff, the same ideas to describe spinning.
Right. And I think something that I always find interesting is that angular momentum is kind of just linear momentum, but if you apply it to things that are kind of connected to each other, right? Like a wheel is really just a bunch of atoms stuck together.
A wheel is a bunch of atoms stuck together. Yes, I can confirm that here on the show. Hold on, wait. Okay. I'm getting an update. Yeah, yes, that's true.
Okay,
yes.
Good. The experiment check yes. out. Okay, good. But what I mean is like the angular momentum of a wheel is really just the linear momentum of all the particles inside of it, but because they're connected together, it sort of becomes almost something else.
Yeah, that's right. You have all these objects. You can think of a wheel as just a bunch of atoms, but if the atoms weren't connected to each other when you spun it, then it wouldn't hold together, right? And so it's the bonds between the atoms that hold them together. If you think of like, you know, the moon going around the Earth, right? Why does it move in a circle? It moves in a circle because there's a force. That force is gravity that keeps it from just flying off into space. Mm-hmm. So in the case of the wheel, why do the bits of the wheel stay together and not just fly off? It's because the atoms are holding them together. So yeah, there's forces there moving it in a circle. But like all things, you can describe it in different levels, right? You can describe it as a single wheel. You can describe it as 11 billion particles, right? The physics should work in every case. It's just sometimes the math is really hairy and sometimes the math is really simple.
And so the end result is that it behaves as if the spinning was like linear momentum, right?
Yeah.
So if you spin it, it's going to keep spinning in space for forever unless you slow it down and apply some force or torque to it.
That's right. Angular momentum is also conserved, right? So if something is spinning, it's going to keep spinning until you apply the rotational version of force, which we call torque, right? And so that's why, for example, the moon doesn't fall into the Earth, right? Because it has too much angular momentum, right? That's why the solar system hasn't collapsed into a black hole, because the spinning keeps it from falling in, right? And so there's lots of consequences of angular momentum and the conservation of angular momentum. So it's definitely a thing. It plays a big role in the shape and structure of the universe and our everyday lives, right? So angular momentum is definitely a thing. And it seems relevant to the bicycle because the bicycle has big spinning things on it, right?
Right. And angular momentum is also kind of different. It's not just that it's hard to speed up or slow down when something's spinning in space, but it's kind of hard to change the orientation of it, right? When once something is spinning, like a wheel out in space, it's kind of hard. It likes to not just keep spinning, but it likes to keep spinning in that direction.
That's right. Angular momentum is defined along a spin axis, right?
Yeah.
And just like if you push something in a certain direction, it likes to go not just in any direction, but in that direction. If you spin something, then it likes to keep spinning around the same axis of rotation that it started.
Yeah, like around the same line that goes through the hub of the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you have it spinning one way and you want it to spin the other way, right, that takes a lot of torque. Or if you have it spinning in one direction and you want it spinning around an axis that's like rotated by 90 degrees, that also takes a lot of torque, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's not just that it spins. You're right. It likes to spin in the same direction.
And so that's why people assume that's the reason bikes stay upwards, is that upwards? Up? Right side
upright.
Up. Upright.
Upright, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you imagine that this has an application of the bicycle, that the wheels are spinning. And so the wheels have angular momentum. And that momentum is around the axis, right, the hub, around which the wheels are spinning. And so if the bike just goes in the same direction, then it's going to resist falling over because it has some angular momentum around that axis. And for that for the wheels to spin in another direction would require some sort of torque.
And it's kind of like if you just take one wheel and you roll it down the hill or roll it down the street, it's going to mostly stay upright, you know, kind of like a coin. When you toss a coin or roll a coin on a table, it just kind of likes to keep rolling and stay upright.
Yeah, and you can see this effect in lots of other things in your life. Like if you ever have like a spinning top, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can spin a top and it'll stay upright, and it can even like do crazy things, like you know, move. You can balance it on the tip of your finger, right? Stuff like that. You could never balance a top that wasn't spinning on your finger unless you're some sort of magician or juggler. But if it's spinning, then it's really pretty easy to keep it on your finger, and that's because it resists changing its direction because the angular momentum is going in a certain direction already, right? So right. The same thing, same effect is in play for the bicycle.
And if you are a few too many levels into your inception dream, then the top would just keep spinning forever, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And so what happens on a bicycle? Well, on a bicycle, for example, if your bicycle starts to fall over, right, then the gyroscope effect is essentially going to turn the wheel. It's going to turn the wheel a little bit in the direction that the bike is falling, and that'll keep the bike stable. So it's not like the gyroscope effect keeps the bike from leaning over. It's more that it turns the wheel in such a way that if the bike does start to lean over, it corrects itself, right?
Right.
If it falls over to the right, then the forces work out just the right way so that the wheel turns to the right, and then the bike stays upright.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're... The angular momentum thing is what happens when you just toss one wheel down the street, right? The angular momentum is keeping that one wheel upward. But you're saying that when I put two of them together on a bicycle, that's not the main thing that's keeping the bicycle upright.
Right. Well, I'm saying that the gyroscope effect, this angular momentum, does have a role in keeping the bike upright, like you said, for a single wheel. But turns out they did some studies and it's not enough, right? The effect is there, it's real, but it's not enough to keep a bicycle upright. And that kind of makes sense. I mean, the wheel is not very heavy on a bicycle and it doesn't go that fast. So there's not a huge amount of momentum there.
Oh, I see. Like if you just take a bicycle and you lock the steering wheel, meaning you can't steer it, and or like if you just connect two wheels with a bar and toss it down the street, it would keep going, but it wouldn't keep going upright as far as a bicycle would, right?
That's right, exactly. The front wheel has to be free to make these corrections, right? So that the gyroscope effect and the other effects we'll talk about in a minute can turn the wheel to correct for any leaning. That's the key to staying upright, that if you start to lean, you want to turn the wheel. Like imagine you're riding a bike and you start to fall over to the left. What are you going to do? Well, if you turn the wheel a little bit to the left, then you're sort of going to ride into it and you'll stabilize.
Right.
If you turn the wheel to the right, then you're just going to fall over. So the key to staying upright on a bicycle is that the front wheel turns in the direction that you're falling.
Oh, okay. So that's, hold on, I think I just fell off my bike.
your mental bike? I hope you're wearing a helmet.
I was wearing a mental helmet. Well, let's really dig into it because I'm a bit confused. But we'll get into it. But first, let's take a quick break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, so Daniel, we know that we're trying to figure out why bicycles stay upright, and we know that angular momentum has something to do with it, but it's not, you're telling me it's not the main factor why bicycles stay upright.
Yeah, that's right. And they did this really cool experiment to discover that. They said, can we build a bicycle that doesn't have angular momentum? And you might think, well, that's impossible because the bike has a spinning wheel and that's definitely going to have angular momentum. So what they did was they built a bike with two more wheels. Right, and these wheels spin the other way. Okay, it's a crazy looking bicycle, but you know, if you put two wheels together and one spins clockwise and the other one's going to spin counterclockwise, right, because of the way they rub. And so if you just attach two more wheels that touch the original wheels, then they're going to spin the opposite way, which gives the opposite angular momentum and the opposite gyroscope effect. So you basically have a bicycle with no gyroscope effect.
No angular momentum, or like zero angular momentum. And so you would think that it would just fall over, right? Because kind of like a bicycle, if you don't push it or anything and just take your hands off it, it's going to fall over because it doesn't have any angular momentum or it's not going.
That's right. But the universe came up with a surprise for us, right? Which is why we do experiments. This is why we don't just sit in a cave somewhere like the Greeks and think about the universe. We go out and test these ideas because the universe is full of surprises. And it turns out that bike balances almost as well as a normal bicycle, which is like mind-blowing. And for decades, people thought, oh, it's angular momentum, it's angular momentum, until somebody finally went out there and did the experiment and checked. And you know, another experiment you can do is you can shrink the wheels, right? If the wheels are really, really small, like the size of skateboard wheels or something, or rollerblade wheels, then they're going to have much less angular momentum. And those bikes are also pretty well balanced.
They still stay up, huh?
They still stay up. So this sort of like blew up the whole concept. People had assumed for a long time that it was angular momentum, it's gyroscope, yeah, that makes sense. But nobody really tried it for a while. And so then people went out and did the experiments and turns out, nope, that's not the answer.
Were there actual like physics conferences around this topic?
Yeah, somebody got a paper in Science about this.
Really?
I mean, this is a big deal. Yeah, I mean, talk about like low-hanging fruit, right? I mean, it's not that hard to build this bicycle. You know, you struggled in grad school for years and years. Did you get a science paper? I didn't. I had to work on a $10 billion collider and I still didn't get a science paper. You can make a funky bicycle, you know, with $100 and get enough information for a science paper. That's pretty good.
So somebody made a bicycle with no angular momentum and it still stayed upright.
Yeah, it's still a good balance. You could push it by itself and it would have all those same behaviors. It could balance by itself. Yeah.
Okay, so the secret is something else about a bicycle. And you were telling me a little bit earlier that the secret is that one of the wheels can move.
The secret is definitely you have to have the front wheel being able to move. But okay. And there's lots of reasons why that's important. And one of them is the angle of the forks, right? So the forks are the thing on the hold the front wheel in place, right? Connected to the handlebars, it's how you steer. And on most bikes, the angle of the forks is forwards, right? So the wheel sits a little bit in front of the handlebars.
Yeah, it's kind of curved forward, right? It's not like a straight fork down. It's kind of angled and it kind of curves up.
Yeah, and I always wondered why that was. And I always thought, oh, that's just like, it looks cool or, I don't know, it's sort of a nice design or whatever.
A fancy, turns out, like, just like, you know, like a whimsy, like a little whimsical touch.
But no, it turns out that's actually an ancient part of the design. Like if you look back at pictures of old bicycles, even really old bicycles have that sort of slant. And the reason is that also helps the bike stay upright. You know, what it means is that the axis that you're steering on, right, the fork, the direction, is in front of, it hits the ground, a line along that axis hits the ground in front of where the bike is actually touching the ground. Right, the bike touches the ground, the bottom of the front wheel.
Right.
But the steering axis hits the ground ahead of that. And so what that means is that it's sort of following it.
It's not perfectly aligned, these two things.
Yeah. And so what that means is that it's one is sort of following the other. It's sort of like, you know, those wheels on a grocery cart, those things that are like impossible to turn around and you kind of go backwards, it's a pain, right?
I always get the chopping cart with the broken caster wheel, you know, that goes like...
You probably are the one who breaks them, right? And you just return them to store and don't say anything, right? Exactly. No, you know, those wheels, they do this funny thing where if you push forwards, then they follow the direction of motion, right? Because they're sort of behind the steering axis, right? They go backwards.
They always align in the direction where you're pushing.
Yes, exactly. Right, which is why it's so hard to turn them around because they're aligned in some other direction. Well, it's just similar effect for the bicycle, right? What that means is that if the bicycle starts to lean to the left, for example, then because of this angle, gravity and the force from the ground is going to turn the wheel in such a way that the wheel turns in the direction that you're falling, which again helps the bike right itself. And so because this angle axis is tilted, then you get that same effect.
Okay, so what you're saying, okay, I'm riding my bicycle, okay? I'm going down the sidewalk, and suddenly I start to lean a little bit to the left. So I'm falling, and you're saying because of this axis caster effect, and my wheel automatically, without me having to steer it, is going to turn to the left.
Turn to the left, yeah, exactly. You know how if you pick up a bicycle, right, the handlebars always turn, right? They never stay balanced. If you pick up a bicycle, it's always like the front wheel is spinning in some crazy direction. That's because this caster effect, and also because the center of mass of the handlebars and the wheel are not quite on top of each other. And that's another effect that contributes to the wheel turning in the direction that you're falling.
So okay, and that helps me stay upright, right? Because if I'm leaning left, my front wheel turns left because of these effects. And then now that's actually going to help me pick myself back up.
That's right. Exactly. And so these are all small effects that help a bike stay upright. And the cool thing is that you can build all sorts of crazy bicycles. And they've done this. It's like whole bicycle research teams now. And they've built bicycles that have no angular momentum, like we talked about. They also built bicycles that have no angular momentum and don't have this caster wheel effect, right? They angle the fork in the other direction. And I've seen this video. They can still get the bicycle to balance by itself, even without the caster wheel and without angular momentum.
Meaning you point the fork down, like perfectly down, that still works.
Or even backwards, right? The negative effect. You can even have the fork sort of pointing in the wrong direction and a bike will still balance. So a bike with no angular momentum and the negative caster effect will still keep itself upright.
But how does it stay upright if you cancel out this self-steering effect?
Nobody knows. That's the awesome
serious?
Part. I am serious. Like
nobody knows?
Turns out these equations are complicated, right? Like figuring out how a bike balances is not as simple like, oh, do-do-do, it's angle momentum, we're done. these are complicated effects because there are lots of forces involved, lots of ways it can pivot. And wow. So it's still a mystery, you know? It definitely is influenced by angular momentum. It's definitely influenced by this Castor effect. It's definitely influenced by this other thing with the center of mass about where the balance point is on a bicycle. But the truth is that it's still a bit of a mystery.
Wait, so you're telling me every time I ride a bicycle, I am riding on a mystery of the universe that physicists don't know how it works?
You're basically riding a black hole around town.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Oh, my God.
Does that make riding your bicycle seem more fun and exciting?
It seems a little more dangerous, to be honest.
It's not like the physics is going to stop working. Like, hold on a second, we figured out your bike shouldn't balance, and then boom, everybody falls over simultaneously. That would be awesome. It's still a mystery. There are lots of effects there we don't understand. It's complicated. You know, lots of things about how people turn. You know, you lean to the right and then turn to the left.
Yeah.
Counter steering. All sorts of stuff is going on. It's really pretty tricky. But it's important. You know, if you figure out how bicycles balance, you could develop a new bicycle, right? We could have some breakthrough in bicycle science to be just around the corner.
Wow. You could win the Nobel bicycle prize.
Yeah, or, you know, you could make $1 zillion, whichever you prefer. But it could be that somebody comes up with a better way to make a bicycle, and that sweeps the world, right? And all of a sudden, the way we've been riding bikes for 100 years is like old-fashioned and clunky and hilarious. There's a guy in my neighborhood, actually, who rides a unicycle, which I think is really impressive.
You mean to go places, not just in the circus?
Oh, no, yeah, he commutes to work. On his unicycle.
And does he know you can put two of those together to make a bicycle?
Maybe the bicycle just broke in half. But he's got one for, you know, nice weather. He's got like a mountain bike unicycle. I've even seen him like on trails that I like struggle to walk up. He's like unicycling up.
Dude's no amazing. Way.
Way. Like,
wow. Does he put nails and screws on it when it's icy?
No, he's just got knobby tires on it. I think that's more a testament. That's not so much physics. That's just the brain. Like, it's incredible what the brain can maneuver and accomplish if you put your mind to it. And so even though physicists haven't figured out what the equations that control a bicycle are, your brain has, right? Your brain has an intuitive grasp of how a bicycle works and how to manipulate it.
Right. Well, not just me, like little kids.
No, I'm talking specifically about Jorge's brain. Yeah,
oh,
it's
okay.
Incredible,
you're
people. Jorge's brain is amazing.
It's amazing that I can do what a three-year-old can do.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you're right. Three-year-olds are excellent at this, right? But that's what three-year-olds do. They're like mapping their control of the world, right? They're interacting with the world and getting all this feedback and figuring out how to control it. And if kids, you know, for a long time have had a hard time learning to ride a bike. But if you start by just teaching them the balance, these push bikes, then they're great at it, right? It doesn't take them very long to learn to balance.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. So the next time you ride your bicycle, just think about it. You are riding a black hole.
That's right.
In our knowledge of the universe.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some interesting physics going on there. We know a little bit about it. There's some of these effects that are happening to keep your bike upright. But there's definitely something else going on in there that we don't understand.
Right.
And it could be something mundane. It could be like, oh, it turns out these forces happen this way and there's a torque and whatever. But there's always the possibility when you don't understand something that there could be a deep secret of the universe revealed, right? That's why physicists tug at every thread we don't understand, hoping that one of those threads is going to unravel the fabric of the universe and teach us something deep about the way when the world works.
Yeah. Or at least you'll get to work with a little bit of exercise.
Exactly. And you'll look really cool and you'll be fit from all that biking.
Yeah, that's right. Just remember to wear a helmet when you do physics.
And so that's why we think the physics of everyday objects is fascinating. So if there's something in your world that you don't understand, something you'd like to understand, you know, why does this happen? Why does it work this way? How come it doesn't work this other way? Send us a suggestion.
Why are shopping carts always broken?
That's right. Why, and no matter where I go, did Jorge break the wheels on my shopping cart? Has he been to every grocery store in the universe?
Anything that seems magical in your everyday life, let us know. We'll try to kill the magic. See you next time.
If If you still have a question after listening to all these explanations, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge, that's one word, or email us at feedback@danielandjorge.com. Thanks for listening, and remember that Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.